Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Welcome to our time of prayer and scripture together. So glad that you could join me. Let's put ourselves in God's presence. Let's pray for one another. Feel free to leave your prayer intentions in the comments, and let's delve into His Word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this moment when we again come into Your presence. You are present to us in so many ways in the Christian community, through the ministers of the gospel, in the Holy Eucharist, and You are present in Your Word. Deepen that sense we have, that faith and conviction we have of Your presence in Your Word. May we understand it more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively through Christ our risen Lord. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. A Pharisee in the Sanhedrin named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up, ordered the apostles to be put outside for a short time, and said to the Sanhedrin, "Fellow children of Israel, be careful about what you are about to do to these men." Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be someone important, and about 400 men joined him. But he was killed, and those who were loyal to him were disbanded and came to nothing. After him came Judas the Galilean at the time of the census. He also drew people after him, but he too perished, and all who were loyal to him were scattered. So now I tell you, have nothing to do with these men, and let them go. For if this endeavor or this activity is of human origin, it will destroy itself. But if it comes from God, you will not be able to destroy them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. They were persuaded by him. After recalling the apostles, they had them flogged, ordered them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. And all day long, both in the temple and in their homes, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the Christ, Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we see here the only Jewish leader who counseled against persecuting these new Christians. He counseled against it using historical wisdom. There were a number of dynamics going on here. Remember, they were afraid of what the Romans would do. If the Romans sensed that there was going to be some kind of popular revolt or that the people were going to get out of order, they would come down with a fury with their Roman power. And these religious leaders did not want that to happen. And they saw the potential of it. People were following the apostles, believing in Jesus. And if there were to be some radical action on the part of these Jewish leaders, you saw already in the Acts of the Apostles how they were handling them gently for fear of the crowds. Well, it was also for fear of the Romans coming in and squashing any disorder. They were concerned about that, for one thing. And then religiously, you know, there's a word here used for this phrase, "You will find yourselves fighting against God." It's the only place in the New Testament that the word appears. Fighters against God, all in one Greek word. And it is a fearful thing to fight against God. He is almighty. His providence arches over the entire universe. He knows infinitely more than we do. You don't want to find yourself fighting against a move of God. Scripture is filled with examples of how that just doesn't work. God's will always prevails, and when you fight against God, you end up destroying yourself in the process. And Gamaliel says you don't want to be there either. Now, there's also a hint in Gamaliel's advice here that maybe this is from God. You know, these Sanhedrin were facing a number of things that, of course, had convinced the people and that they themselves had to find kind of hard to deal with. First, the fact of the resurrection. They couldn't produce the body of Jesus, although there were lies going around, you know, with the manufactured story that his apostles came during the night and stole the body. But if someone wanted to disprove the resurrection, well, find the body, produce the body. There was the resurrection of Jesus and his appearance to many people. There was the miracle of the day of Pentecost. There was the healed man, the lame man in the temple area all the time, who was now clearly healed, standing there with the apostles and praising God, praising Jesus who had healed him. They couldn't deny this evidence, which was clear to all the people. And then, of course, there was the incident that we just read about the other day of the apostles being miraculously freed from the prison. There they were again teaching the people, which the Sanhedrin told them not to do. Meanwhile, the prison was locked and the guard was in place. What happened? Where's this coming from? How's this occurring? So you can see why Gamaliel will say, you know, be careful, because if this is of God, now we don't know how, whether he was actually believing that or not, maybe he was coming to carefully consider it, but if this be from God, be careful, because you don't want to fight against God. And then, of course, you know, the reading here starts with the fact that Gamaliel was a Pharisee. The apostles were preaching the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Pharisees believed in resurrection and angels. The angel led the apostles out of the prison. Spirits. The Sadducees, on the other hand, did not believe those things. So Gamaliel, a Pharisee, didn't want to really be helping the Sadducees persecute the apostles for preaching the resurrection. So there was a little undercurrent here of religious tension as well. But despite the fact that they agreed with and followed Gamaliel's advice, they still take one last shot at these apostles. They bring them in. They flog them. They give them another order not to preach in the name of Jesus. They can't help themselves. They got to do that one more push of persecution before they just let them go. And, well, let's see what comes of this. Indeed, let's see what comes of it. You know, Gamaliel's prophecy, of course, proved true when he says, "You will not be able to destroy them." Isn't that a prophecy there? Because what has happened during these millennia of Christianity? What has happened given the persecutions of the Roman Empire, the persecutions of Christians, the tortures of the martyrs, some of the most horrific stories in human history about the torture of these Christians, and not just in the early church, all throughout the centuries, up to this present day, the number of martyrs all around the world. What did Gamaliel say? You will not be able to destroy them. The more Christianity has been persecuted, the more what? The more it has grown. And you know, there's a sign. Look how this reading is constructed, because just a couple of verses after Gamaliel says, "You will not be able to destroy them," we see the apostles flogged. That hurts. I mean, we're talking about flogging is not, this is not some kind of easy experience. They're flogged. They're ordered to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. But then what happens? As if an immediate fulfillment of Gamaliel's prophecy, we read, "This suffering did not discourage them. They didn't go away sad. They didn't go away depressed. They didn't go away disheartened. They didn't go away intimidated. They went away rejoicing." And then they did what? They did not stop teaching and proclaiming Jesus all day long, both at the temple and in their homes. You will not be able to destroy them. That part of Gamaliel's prophecy is fulfilled within verses of him saying it. and it has been fulfilled for the last 2,000 years. And in this day, we see systematic persecution of Christians. And what has happened? Has the church gone away? Has Christianity disappeared? Quite the contrary. We just had Easter, and what happened? More and more people were added to the ranks of the church, professing faith publicly in the same Jesus that these apostles proclaimed, professing faith publicly and being baptized. Just last week, the water flowed throughout the earth. The water of baptism and new life that these apostles were proclaiming. Thank God for Gamaliel, the wisdom. Thank God for the prophecy. Thank God for the warning to us. Do not fight against the works of God Himself. And this should give us finally the confidence to keep doing the work of God. Cancel culture. This prophecy of Gamaliel is a warning to the cancel culture, isn't it? They try to cancel you, they try to cancel me, they fire doctors, they fire teachers, they fire coaches, they even fire priests. And yet, if this work comes from God, you will not be able to destroy it. That's our message to the cancel culture today. That's our message to a weaponized government that's throwing pro-life people in jail. This movement is of God. The pro-life movement is part of the gospel preaching of the kingdom of God. And therefore, we say to those who try to destroy the pro-life movement, who try to discourage us in various ways, try to defeat us in various ways, you will not be able to destroy them. You may find yourselves even fighting God Himself. That's our message to those who oppose our cause. May we have the wisdom, not only of Gamaliel, but of those apostles who rejoiced and did not stop preaching and teaching. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop fighting for life. Don't even slow down. Don't even think of slowing down. Brothers and sisters, in the risen Christ, the victory is ours. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, the apostles preached your name. Although the Sanhedrin flogged them and told them not to do so, they did not stop. Lord, may we not stop, because salvation is rushing forth over the earth. People are coming more and more to the way, which is Christianity. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the unfolding victory of your resurrection. May it strengthen our efforts for life, for the defense of life, for the defense of the lives of the unborn, for the abolishing of abortion. May it indeed bless our efforts. Help us, Lord God. Help us now. Strengthen us. We intercede for one another also. May all the prayer intentions being expressed and those held in the silence of our hearts find an answer in you. Show your love for us yet again by answering our prayers. Bless our nation in this critical election. Bless the pro-life movement, especially in the fights in various states where there are ballot initiatives. Bless all who are working for life. And bless all our needs, Lord God. Heal the sick, counsel the doubtful, console the sorrowing, give eternal rest to the dead. And bless us now as we pray the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray to our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Friends, it's a joy to be with you. Thank you so much. Spread the word about these programs because, as I always say, there are some people only you can reach, only you can bring in to keep expanding our online audience. Could you do that for us? We really appreciate that. Thanks. Keep praying for us. We're praying for you. Stay connected with our work and with all our broadcasts, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.